praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee served the Lord faithfully for more than 70 years, culminating with his exhaustive commentary on the entire scriptures called Life Study of the Bible. Today, we're happy to bring you recorded excerpts from his ministry, along with some of our own considerations. At the end of the program, we'll give you the website where you can find more about the remarkable ministry of these two men. But for now, please enjoy today's program.
As we near the end of the life study of Genesis, we have yet another life study concerning Joseph. And with us to open it up today is Ron Kangas. Ron, welcome back. It's nice to see you again.
And it's always a pleasure to be here.
We're viewing once again, Ron, Joseph as a full and complete type of our Savior, Christ. Without going into a lot of detail, how is it that we have seen Christ in so many of the Old Testament saints in this life study of Genesis?
In this portion of the life study of Genesis, where we're focused on Joseph's life and experience and how it signifies the reigning aspect of a mature life in Christ Jesus, we make the point that we will now briefly reinforce that Joseph himself is a type of Christ. And he is, we may say in Genesis anyway, the climax of a line of such typology. We start with Adam himself as a type of Christ prior to the fall, of course. Christ is the one, according to Colossians 1:15, who is the image of God. Christ is the one, as revealed in the Gospels, who exercised dominion for the kingdom of God, who could deal with the enemy. So in these ways, Adam signifies, typifies Christ. Then we have Isaac. Isaac is another type of Christ, as well as a fulfillment of the prophecy given to Abraham that his seed would be a great blessing and numbers of people would be generated through his descendant. So Isaac is the one sent to us by God through grace to be the fulfillment of this promised blessing. But there's a specific aspect of Isaac being a type, and that is the familiar account where Abraham is required to offer to God the very one, his son, Isaac, who came from God for God's interest on the earth. And if we examine the details of Isaac being offered, and of there being a ram whose horns were caught in a thicket that was offered instead of Isaac, but then in spiritual significance, when Abraham received Isaac back, that signifies Christ in resurrection. So Isaac signifies the Son of God who received all the riches of the Father, is the embodiment of the fullness of God the Father. He is the one signified by Isaac marrying Rebekah. Rebekah signifies the church composed of the believers saved from the world. So this is a real type, a real picture of Christ. Now with Joseph, he was one denounced, betrayed by his brothers. The Lord Jesus was betrayed by Judas, was abandoned by all of them. The account of Joseph's life indicates he was a man. He's portrayed there as a man without defect, typifying Christ as the sinless God-man. But especially, Joseph typifies the reigning Christ, Christ reigning in life. As he said at the end of Matthew, verse 18 of chapter 28, all authority has been given to him, the Son of Man, in heaven and on earth. This is the picture that we have here.
Thanks, Ron. Let's go to Witness Lee for the first clip of today's life study.
Joseph represents the reigning aspect of the mature life. And within the mature saints, the reigning aspect surely is Christ constituted into our being. We have seen that he typifies Christ as the beloved Son of God. Now we come to the point that he typified Christ as the one who was betrayed. Christ, firstly, was God's beloved Son. Secondly, Christ was sent by God the Father to shepherd God's people. Thirdly, Christ was persecuted by the people to whom he was sent by the Father. We have seen all these 3 points were fully portrayed in the life of Joseph. In the Bible, betrayal means depreciation. Joseph was sold by his brothers. If they regarded Joseph as thief of life and a star of light shining, surely they would not sell him. In the same principle, and the same thing happened to the Lord Jesus. He was sold. Peter, John, James, all the apostles were depreciated. Through all the centuries, all the followers of the Lamb were betrayed because all the followers of Christ were depreciated. It is so strange. Many of you do have the experience when you were not saved, not loving the Lord and seeking after him. Maybe your parents evaluate you very much. And your classmates regarded you highly. One day, since you began to seek after the Lord, from that day, even your parents despise you. Your classmates, your cousins, all your friends began to despise you. This is a kind of betrayal. Never forget, Christ's crucifixion began with betrayal.
Ron, there is something that is somehow comforting here, to realize that to be despised for the name of Christ is a normal experience of all his followers. Nearly all of us as believers have some example of this experience when we first make a stand for the Lord, don't we, Ron?
A particular aspect of Joseph being despised. For what? Because he testifies of the dreams that he saw, but his brothers despised him to the point that at first one of them suggested we should kill him. Then they sold him into slavery. And when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, he was a despised person. He came to his own people. They rejected him to the uttermost. And we know from other portions in the New Testament, in particular, I would cite 1 Peter, where Peter points out that the brotherhood, the believers throughout the earth, they're all suffering because of their faithful stand for the truth of the gospel, their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of all. They're taking this stand. And on the one hand, they're being despised by the religionists in Judaism, and they are despised by those pagan people in the Roman Empire, despising them for being different, for not participating in so many evil, corrupt things. And this is a message to all of us. We should be prepared for this. The Lord told us in the Gospel of John, in the world you'll have tribulation. Elsewhere in the Gospels, he said, look, if they called the master of the house, that is the Lord himself, they called him Beelzebub. How much more will they call you things like that? And so it shouldn't be something shocking to us. It's something very much characteristic of Christ himself as he lived as a God-man. And all those who are not ashamed to confess his name, to identify with him and be one with him in every way, to testify concerning him, to announce the good news, the gospel regarding him, to a certain extent, in varying degrees, we also will be despised. If we have God's view of this, we will realize this is an honor to bear his reproach. This is part of the normal Christian life, one with the Lord, testifying him, expressing him in the midst of a world that despises him and rejects him.
Thank you, Ron. Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
Joseph was put into prison. Was Christ put into prison? Surely, yes. His prison was death. Death was a confinement to Christ. Christ was confined there for 3 days. If you were Peter, and if you were Mary there, these 3 nights would have been too long for you, because you loved Christ, and you followed him, and you saw he was crucified, and you saw he was buried. After the burial of Christ, Mary, she had no heart for eating, for sleeping. She was waiting for something to happen. So all those 3 days were a long night. But now, do you know how long the night to Joseph was? The night to Joseph was about 10 years. I do believe no need for you to follow the Lord for even 1 year. Just to follow the Lord for a short time, probably you have already found out you got trouble. If Joseph didn't see the dreams, probably he would not have any kind of troubles. Just because he had the dreams. And he was excited about the dreams. Okay. Joseph, are you ready? Ready to be sold. Firstly, depreciated. And secondly, what? To be imprisoned. Many of you young people would think, oh, as long as we follow Jesus Christ, glorious! Yeah, that's glorious. But listen, you need some confinement. Confinement means a lot to you. My real burden is to render some secret to you. How to be imprisoned. If I had never have this kind of secret, I couldn't understand this chapter in this way. You young people must see one point, even after you see the vision of Christ, the vision of the church, the vision of cross, the vision of the inner life, the vision of the spirit. Even after you see all these things, don't think that right away you will have a glorious time. No. If I were Joseph, I may have doubted about my dream. I might have said to myself, probably that was really just a dream to you. No, it's not something real. In the dream, you saw that you are the rising of chief, but actually, you are putting down. And you saw you are the heavenly star shining in the skies. Actually, you are being put into prison. What happened to you was just vice versa to the dreams. You may have started to doubt about your interpretation. You may think, well, those things just were dreams, not the real things. I myself understood in this way. Actually, it didn't mean this.
Ron, we've had programs in the past dealing with Joseph's dreams. Let me ask you this question. What is the New Testament equivalent of Joseph's dreams?
So to him, these are just two unusual dreams. But the content of these dreams has spiritual significance. And I would briefly just point out that significance is having a vision by which we see how God views his people. He has this wonderful, positive view of them because he views us in Christ. The matter next is, what in the New Testament corresponds to the visions granted to him that eventually indicated that he would in some way reign, he would rule? Well, Paul began his life as a believer with a heavenly vision. He saw the glorified, resurrected, and ascended Jesus. He saw a light brighter than the sun. And later, toward the end of the book of Acts, in chapter 26, I think it is, he testified to a Roman ruler, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Well, the word disobedient indicates the vision exerted authority over him. It governed him. It directed him. It motivated him. It energized him. He was a man of vision. But as marvelous as that was with Paul, the ultimate visionary is the Apostle John. There he is on the island of Patmos, suffering there for the testimony of Jesus. Then he receives vision after vision, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And at the end of the book, toward the end of chapter 23, the Lord said, "I, Jesus, have sent my messenger, the angel, to testify these things concerning the churches." So John saw vision after vision. So surely there is a clear correspondence and a thorough development of the significance of Joseph's dreams, as it was with Jesus, as it was with Paul, and as it was with John. It will also be with us, because they are all patterns of what a believer in Christ ultimately will be. Sooner or later, we will be mature in life like Jacob, and we will reign in life like Joseph. What is in our heart is, since this is our destiny, let it be sooner rather than later. Let's be enlightened and supplied by the ministry now, that we may grow in life and reign in life and be obedient to the heavenly vision until we meet the Lord.
Let's go back to Witness Lee for the last section of today's life study.
Now, two criminals came into the prison. It may be after 10 years. By this time, do you have the faith to interpret dreams for them? If I were Joseph, I would say, forget about it. I had interpretation. about the interpretation was never fulfilled. Could you see the point? But this Joseph still had the boldness to say, interpretation of dreams is of God. I had the dreams, and God gave me the interpretation. Now I still believe in that interpretation. Even though interpretation was not fulfilled, I still have the faith to do the interpretation for you. Hallelujah! The fulfillment of his interpretation for others came so fast. But the fulfillment of the old timer still didn't come. Before the confirmation, surely he had the faith there. And after the confirmation, he had more faith. But more faith you have, more testing you'll be suffering. But do you really believe that Joseph was suffering there? Apparently, he was suffering there. Actually, he was not suffering there. He was experiencing the learnings for him to be the one on the throne. Otherwise, how could a young boy of 17 years age, 19 years age, be enthroned in Egypt to rule over the whole country, to manage that kind of situation? Impossible. He was trained, he was exercised, he was learned by his imprisonment, by his being confined. All the confinement that happens to you and will happen to you will be a kind of exercise, a kind of practice, a kind of learning, a kind of training, a kind of preparation for you to be enthroned. To get on the throne, you need a few steps. Betrayal is the first step, and confinement the second. You couldn't jump over, and you couldn't skip over. No ministry has ever been used by the Lord without all these betraying steps, imprisoning steps. We all have to step over these betrayings and imprisonings. Then we will reach the throne. Don't think Joseph is an exceptional case. No, Joseph is a regular case, a common case. You and I, we all have to be like this. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah for the vision. Amen. Hallelujah for all the betrayings. And hallelujah for all the confinement. Amen. And hallelujah for all the lessons. Amen. Praise Him. Amen. We do have the key.
Ron, this portion concluded in a wonderful way. Joseph could have easily been discouraged to the utmost, as we often are. His experience seemed so opposite to the dream that God had given him. But he was able to see eventually that this environment was there to equip him for the fulfillment of his dream, wasn't he?
We all know that Joseph saw the vision in his dreams. And those were just wrought into his being. Deep within, he knew this was from God. But then his environment for years is completely incompatible. He's not ruling. He's a prisoner in jail for a crime he didn't commit. Well, on the human side, there are moments of discouragement, even despair, like, what is this? Look how I end up here. But the visions were inside of him. And so when two others were put into prison temporarily, and they both had dreams, Joseph said, interpretation of dreams belong to God. Tell the dreams to me. That indicates his faith in the dreams, in the visions he saw. And so I would say, what word shall we use? The tension between the visions in Joseph and the outward constraints of his environment set a situation where he could be trained, he could be perfected in this situation. So the vision was here, not yet fulfilled, but deep within he knows it must be fulfilled. It's from God. It will be fulfilled. But outwardly he's in this situation, and after he interprets the dreams, he says to the cupbearer, "Mention me to Pharaoh," hoping that that would get him out of there. But the cupbearer forgot. So 2 more years. God realized Joseph needs 2 more years of confinement for me to develop him inwardly, and I will fulfill the vision. But look, it wasn't fulfilled in the 7 years of plenty. It was fulfilled during the years of famine, when Joseph's brothers came to him and eventually bowed down before him. Then and only then was the vision fulfilled. I find this encouraging beyond description to the uttermost, even from my own experience of being in confinement, in limitation. But this is a precious time. I thank the Lord for it. I worship him for it. Because this is a time of preparation, a time of learning, a time of training, so that when the vision is fulfilled, we're a proper person in Christ to live out the reality of the heavenly vision.
Thank you for your fellowship today, Ron. And thank you also for listening. We invite you to call us at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Or we'd love to get your emails at radio@lsm.org. On behalf of Ron Kangas, I'm Matt Miller. Thank you for listening today.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. These programs are based on messages Witness Lee gave when he did a comprehensive book-by-book study of the Bible, showing how Christ is life to man. Whether you're hearing these life studies via radio, online, or as a podcast, we hope you'll visit our website, lifestudy.com. There, you'll find more than 1,700 audio studies covering every book of the Bible. Again, that's lifestudy.com. Thanks again for listening.